Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
I'd like to say Martin Murphy joins us on the line this week. And Martin, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, Patrick. How are you keeping?
I'm doing very well. Hope you're keeping well yourself.
Oh yeah, keeping busy now. All right, you know yourself. Kept going.
Busy weekend again, Martin. And the National Hunt season now is really kicking into top gear.
It is indeed, no question about that. Good meetings at Gordon Park tomorrow and at Navan on Sunday, of course, the Tri-Town Chase. Both 8 race cards, early starts. Weather looks quite good, actually, has to be said. They're going to be fairly dry, and plenty of runners to look at, and plenty of competitive racing ahead of us. So hopefully we'll try and find a few winners for everybody.
Before we look forward, Martin, let's look back at last weekend, and I suppose, firstly, the disappointing defeat of Fahin last weekend in the Morgiana Hurdle.
Well, it's true, Patrick, and I suppose a whole, you know, it was always a bit of a fear, but Super Sunday pulled out Sunday morning because the ground, then, of course, when we got to the race with Sam Crowe, which always looked a bit dodgy, he pulled out as well, and it certainly looked, you know, home and hose then for Fahin. If he was anything like the horse he used to be over 2 miles, you would imagine he certainly would have beaten those, and unfortunately, it didn't work out to be the case. Tombstone and Rachel Blackmore seemed to hurry him all the way, which he probably didn't really like, I have to say, and then as soon as you know, he turned it in the straights, you could see Charger was travelling well behind him, and he quickened away very well. It just looks that definitely now as a 10-year-old, Fahin is no longer a realistic champion hurdle contender over 2 miles. But I'd say you will see maybe in the Hatton's Grace Hurdle next week at Ferryhouse over 2.5. That could be a cracking race against Apple's Jade and a few of those. And I'd imagine to be heading down the 3 mile route, maybe Leopardstown Christmas and back for the Stayers Hurdle, hopefully at Cheltenham. So he still is a very good horse, obviously, but I just think he's lost that bit of zip. And of course, you know, at 10 years of age, rising 11, it would be difficult for him to take on the likes of Boover Dare and Sam Crowe over 2 miles. But yeah, it was certainly disappointing, all right, no question. But it was a good day's racing last Sunday. We've seen a very good bumper horse, I have to say, Patrick, was just saying there to you. Malone Road, I seen him win at Down Royal, and he looked really good when he winning a Punchdown last Sunday. He's already favoured for the champion bumper. He's owned by Shirley Park, and he certainly looks a very exciting prospect. I don't think he'll run again now before Cheltenham, so we'll have to wait and see what way it goes. But going, you know, if he stays the way he's shown at the moment, he looks a very serious bumper horse, and obviously we'll go over hurdles next season.
And of course, in the novice chase, Martin, Sumnek was a very stern and hardy winner of the race, holding off the late challenge of Blow by Blow.
Yeah, it was against Boba Boa. I just think he wants very soft ground to show his best form. And he runs around a little bit too, maybe doesn't look the most straightforward. But I think fair play to David Mullins, gave Sumnek a fine ride because he was under pressure 3 or 4 fences out. But he keeps that grinding out very well. I don't think it was the strongest event for a Grade 2, and I wouldn't be sure what sort of an effect it would have on Cheltenham races. Maybe those type of horses, they look to me like maybe Grand National horses of the future, or at least big stayers anyway, maybe 4 mile chaser for the National Chase at the Cheltenham Festival. But certainly a good win for Sumnek. It was good. Very good way for David Mullins at heart.
And I suppose, Martin, one of the most controversial races of the weekend, of course, was the auction maiden hurdle at Punchdown on Sunday, where Cuneo, ridden by Rich Blackmore, got thrown out, which gave champion jockey David Russell an easy win, even though he didn't actually win the race.
No, that is true. Now, it was a very tight decision to say either way. I have to say, you know, Cuneo did interfere with Relegate a lot. Relegate was the odds-on favourite with Ruby Walsh. He did take a bit of a dive over the hurdle at the last hurdle, and then interfered with him on the short run in. And Davey, of course, was on the inside. He didn't have any interference whatsoever. The fact he finished second, the stewards felt they had to place Cuneo behind Relegate, so Cuneo was qualified to third. Relegate promoted second, but of course, then the winner was promoted then with Davey Russell on board. I think on balance it possibly was the fairest result. Certainly if you're back Relegate, you would have felt hard done by, because he certainly was interfered with a fair bit. But again, Cuneo, you know, a lot of people said he was the best horse in the race, which I think he possibly was. Rachel didn't really change her stick, unfortunately, and that probably told against her, but they didn't take any action against her in view of a suspension or a penalty. But as I say, it was just one of those dramatic races, and Davey Russell and Gordon Elliott came out the right side of it.
And finally, I suppose, the piece of news from this week. Very disappointing to see Robbie McNamara retiring, Martin. Only just a little over 2 years into training when he started out, of course, obviously in his wheelchair for the last couple of years since picking up that horrible fall in Wexford a couple of years ago. And pity to see such a great guy bowing out of the sport.
Absolutely, Patrick. Yeah, it is indeed. And, you know, it's very sad about what happened a couple of years ago, as you say. And then to make a good start at his training career, had to be said, he had a double there at one of his first days of racing. And he seemed to have plenty of goodwill and support from everybody, a good few owners, but just things didn't work out. I'd say it was obviously very difficult. He said he just needed some time to himself now. And it's a cutthroat business, this training. There's no question about it. It's a very, very difficult job. And obviously more difficult the fact that he's in a wheelchair as well. So fair play to him for giving it a go. And hopefully it's not the last we've heard of Robbie. I'm sure he's been back in some some form or other. Maybe he'll go back training again in years to come. Maybe he'll do something else. But I'd say he's been in horse racing so long. He's a very, very, very good amateur rider. I'd say we haven't seen the last of Robbie.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. And we wish him the best of luck in his next ventures. And let's look forward, so Martin, to the weekend's racing. And as you said at the top, some very early starts this weekend. And no better place to start than Gorham Park tomorrow, where they have an 8-race card, Martin. Because earlier on this morning, he divided the opening race, which was the 3-year-old maiden hurdle. So the opening two races, two divisions of 3-year-olds, maiden hurdle, and you've got 18 and 17 in the first two races.
That's right, Patrick, yeah. And, you know, these 3-year-old hurdles this year are very popular, I have to say. A lot of horses, sometimes at this time of year, a lot of 3-year-olds stay on the flat for Dundalk. Now, obviously, Dundalk is continuing on its merry way every Wednesday and Friday. Friday, especially every Friday, we always have it. And a lot of these 3-year-olds stay on the flat. But this year, for some reason, we seem to have plenty of runners in 3-year-old hurdles. And there is a grade 3 race next weekend at Ferry House, but we haven't got one maybe for a week or two after that. So I suppose everybody wants to run tomorrow. The ground is quite good, which is fairly unusual this time of year as well. There is rain forecast for Gordon, none for Navan, though, it has to be said. And we have plenty of runners today, 17 in the first. I thought maybe Noah Mead wouldn't have a chance in both races. Horse called Union Gap finished fourth in his first run over hurdles, which was an okay sort of horse on the flat, and he could improve enough to get involved in that first race. Well, an interesting runner, newcomer to Hurdle here is a horse called Tiger Vice, came from France for Henry de Bromhead. See Robbie Power book to ride, and that must enter the reckoning as well. The other second division, I thought Future Proof for Noel Mead, ran a fine race, third first time out at Down Rail a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite a decent race. The winner, Cuerdo Sublime, certainly you'd imagine for Gordon Ailey would make his presence felt at graded level. One horse there though in that second race, Lever du Soleil, I was looking at Punchdown last week, and he looked to have the race won from the front until he took a bit of a crashing fall at the second last hurdle. I think he probably might have held on and won that day, although the pack was closing, and a similar type of performance tomorrow would obviously make him hard to beat. But I do think Future Proof ran in probably a better class race and might have his measure.
The third race is another maiden hurdle, Martin, this time for 5-year-old and upwards, and we have the full field of 19.
Yeah, now this could marrow down to a bit of a match between Ballyneety, I think, for Joseph Bryan. It was a decent talk about this horse first time when he ran in a bumper at St. Stephen's Day at Leopardstown, and he ran a fine race. He was third, and the winner of that race was Black Bow, trained by William Mullins. Now he went on and he won the joint favourites for the Cheltenham bumper. He was a fair horse himself, that Black Bow, ended up, I think, in second in the Punchdown champion bumper. So I think Ballyneety and Mark Walsh in particular is having a good time of it of late. I'm sure he's well schooled for this assignment, and he could go very close here. The other one to beat is probably Invincible Cave, a winner of a bumper for Gordon Elliott last season. Didn't run all that well in the winner's bumper after that, but you'd imagine it'd be well fancied here, and although it's a big field, these two possibly could dominate.
The 2 mile novice hurdle is the next race on the card, Martin, and two some recent decent winners. A winner from Cork a couple of weeks ago, Button and Bowes, might catch the eye for Joseph or for Pat Linus and JP McManus. But also you've got the winner who we spoke about a while ago, Satoshi.
That's right, he was looking to get the race to say last week, and that was a 2 mile 6 maiden hurdle, so dropping back to 2 miles is quite interesting here. He also has another one here, Gordon Elliott in Karaka, rated 119, would give it a bit of a chance. To Willie Mullins, a representative of Epswell, was disappointment last time, but had previously won, and you'd have to give that a bit of a chance. Also, Joseph O'Brien came from has a horse called Entuka, who won his only race when trained in France. That could be an interesting newcomer. You have to watch out for the betting here. But the one I was looking at is actually Size and Patsy down the bottom. Fourth in the George Mariner bumper at Ferry House last April, it was. Before that, had won well in his first run at Leopardstown in March on very soft ground. And I just wonder, it's interesting, Jessica Harris going straight to novice hurdling rather than going to maiden hurdle, getting £7 off to penalised winners here. And it'd be very interesting, this Size and Patsy. It's interesting what price will be. He'd be the one to be going for it each way here in a kind of a very competitive event.
The Gordon Racing Club Handicap Hurdle then is the next race with, again, 18 runners.
Yeah, very open this one. And I thought Dracania, number 4 on the card there, was a little unlucky not to win at Limerick last time. Just got touched off by Water Sprite in the driving finish. Same rider, Jeannie Cook, claimed 7 off this one for Paul Power Trains this one, and must go close again, although I wouldn't want any overnight rain. If there was sufficient rain overnight, number 1, Misty Millie, was certainly coming to recommendation here. Like soft ground, but might not be soft enough for her. Want plenty of rain for that one to have a chance. Down towards the middle of the card, number 10, Tal Sarah from Tom Foley, definitely enters calculations on its decent flat form. Ran well in fourth and Avon Maiden last time, and has been shown bits and pieces of form, both over hurdled and on the flat. Young Pat Corbett takes the mount in this one, and I think Tal Sarah each way is the way I'd be playing this race.
The next race is the Conditions Chase over 2.5 miles with 6 facing the starter.
Yeah, it's a tricky race even though the 6 runners here, Patrick. I think it's very tricky. Jet is the highest rated along with Glass Goodbye, and both of them showed good form last season. Now Jet gets a nice £5 allowance here because he was only novice last season. Glass Goodbye for Liz Doyle certainly enters calculations here. Good winner of a big handicap chase at the Dublin Racing Festival last February, at the Leopardstown, a big meeting there, won a nice prize. Ran well at Shetland for a while, finished 8th or 9th. Maybe things just didn't go his way. Round off last season with a disappointing run at Punchdown, but I wouldn't mind that so much. But I think with Sean Flanagan on board, this one could go very well. Any rain that falls overnight certainly will be in its favour. Drumconnor Lad and Tycoon Prince are both, you'd have to say, with a chance. And also Rachel Blackmore rides Wishmore, who's well suited by the conditions of the race. So an interesting contest. Maybe Wishmore off 10-9 might have a chance there for Rachel Blackmore and Joseph Bryan.
The 2.5 mile beginner's chase is the penultimate race in the card, Martin.
Yeah, strong race this one. Like a lot of these beginner's chases are going to be now, Patrick. And I think there's one here of interest for me. He's making his first run over fences. Speak Easy for Joseph Bryan and Mark Walsh. He was a very decent novice hurdler last season. And I'll be interested to see what way the betting goes. On form, Borgas and Burn Life were only separated by a short head when they were second and third respectively behind Discorama in a decent beginner's chase at Nice a couple of weeks ago. That was a very decent effort. And both horses must have sound chances again. Dr. Mikey, trained by Margaret Finn, was a fairly decent horse over hurdles, and if he takes these fences, he must have a chance. Well, Gutsy Rocky for Pat Flynn was second in his last two chase outings, so it is a strong enough race. If there was enough support behind Speak Easy, I think he could get very much involved here. Failing that, maybe I think Borgas could be, you know, one to maybe support each way for Noam Reid and Sean Flanagan.
And the final race, the card, Martin, of course, is the handicap chase over 2 miles with 10 going to post.
Yeah, open enough race here. Blue Empyrean for the Watson stable up north. He was taking on a very, very strong company in his last couple of runs. Going back to handicaps now, we expect him to have a bit of a chance. Shark Hanlon and Rachel Blackmore having a good run together of late, and Baby Jake certainly enters calculations here off 11-10. There's only 10 in this race. Must have a bit of a chance. Just a normal day there for Davy Russell, and That Love also has to come into the any calculation you're doing for the race. Well done, Drum Lads, another one there with Mark Walsh. So wide open contest. I think maybe Baby Jake and Rachel Blackmore with Shark Hannon having such a good run might just be able to be the fight top weight here.
Okay, so that is the Gorn card on Saturday, and just note the earlier start time of 11:35 Saturday morning. Moving to Navan on Sunday, again an 8 race card, and we're going to touch that in a second, Martin, but of course the big race is the Tritown, and we'll be touching that in a short while. But I don't think we've ever seen the going good, or maybe even good to firm, when Sunday racing comes for this meeting.
Well, I haven't missed Tritown Chase for a long time, Patrick. It's one of the nicest days of the year, I think. It's always a big race to go and enjoy. And certainly, as you say there, I mean, I can't remember the weather would have been anything other than soft ground for this meeting. And to see it actually good, and they're just saying no rain forecast, so hopefully it won't go to Fermin anyway. But it definitely just shows you how much the rain has kept away for this autumn and for the winter months now. Like, when you see good ground on the 25th of November at Navan, it's very, very unusual. Now, as we still have the 25 runners, but Gordon Elliott obviously has 12 of those. But certainly some decent horses have been kept on the sidelines because of the ground. There's an awful lot of horses in the country wanting to run at the moment, but we just need plenty of rain. The worrying thing I think I have at the moment is a lot of the forecasts are kind of say it's going to go pretty cold next week, and you just hope that it doesn't go too frosty too quick, and that we don't get, you know, softest ground, because certainly not a lot of horses want the soft ground. It is quite amazing though to see the Tritown Chase run on good ground. No, I can't even remember, definitely can't remember, I'd have to look it up when the last time that actually happened.
Yeah, it'll be definitely one to find out indeed, Martin. The first two races, I suppose, two maiden hurdles, what do you pick out of these two?
Well, Deffy Blue was ran quite well, I thought, in a decent maiden hurdle at Down Royal a couple of weeks ago behind a horse called Brace Yourself. Now, that was the Brace Yourself is not a bad horse to Noam Mead. He thinks an awful lot of that one, and I just think maybe in this maiden hurdle it could be good enough to win. Noam Mead's Momus was third at Galway last time, ran well. Well, an interesting runner for James Mutterway's horse called Dos Gardienes as form in France, but I think Deffy Blue would be the one there. Now, the auction hurdle is quite interesting. Henry de Mamhead's put the kettle on, was second to a good horse called Mr. Blue Sky at Wexford, trained by Willie Mullins. Now, he's beaten a long way on that occasion. Well, Watch a Caller was second to Court Maid at Cork last time, and Gypsy Island was a winner of a Banner Row bumper for Pat Fahey. It certainly would concern these three, I would imagine. Now, I think Watch a Caller ran well enough against Court Maid. Court Maid went on and won a very decent handicap hurdle at Punchdown last week over 3 miles. I think Edward Harty's Watch a Caller gets an error vote from me here.
Okay, the next race on the card then is the Monksfield Novice Hurdle, the Grade 3 contest over 2.5 miles. Always a very competitive race over the years, Martin, and we've got 9 going to post.
Well, Dinans is the top weight here, Patrick, and because he's already won 4 races this season, now he's won 1 or 2 of them in England, and some of them are quite soft, but he obviously is a decent horse, but he has to give £6 away to most of his rivals here. And he is meeting some decent ones here. They've kind of just ran once in maiden hurdles and won them, and it's kind of open. Easy game on the Galway Festival for Willie Mullins, I suppose. That's where people will start. He's been beaten since then, and I suppose he's definitely a beatable horse, but getting £7 off Dinans, he certainly would suggest he could go well. The one I talked on myself, was quite impressive last time, was First Approach. Now he won a probably an ordinary maiden hurdle at Down Royal at that big Down Royal meeting in early November, but he was fairly impressive in doing so, and he had also a winner of a bumper before that. Sean Flanagan rides this one for No Mead. I know No Mead thinks an awful lot of this one. He'd be the one I think I would go along with on Sunday. Magnum for Jessica Hampton ran a good race when second to Aramon in a graded race here a couple of weeks ago. That was quite a surprise. That was a race for Felix de G, who runs on Sunday again. It was quite disappointing. I think Felix de G might want softer ground to see Keith Dunne, who rides him this time. But sometimes soon won for Gordon Elliott at Wexford last time, and it's another one of these unexposed ones. Western Victory was a bit of a surprise winner of a good mare's hurdle at Galway last time as well, and the mount of Brian Cooper. So there's a lot of horses in this race that just are unexposed, and it could improve enough to beat Dinians, especially in the seeded race. In that scenario, I think I like the chance of First Approach, I have to say.
Let's skip on to the Beginner's Chase then, Martin, due off at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, a strong race this one again, Patrick. Only 9 runners, no Willie Mullins runner, which is quite interesting because he does like bringing his better kind of chasers to Navan. It's always a stiff track to jump around. The one, I suppose, on the Hurdle Farm last season that's very, very a nice horse to look forward to is a horse called Paloma Blue for Henry de Bromhead. Ran some fine races, winner to Leopardstown Christmas Festival, a maiden hurdle there, was a strong race. Ran well in graded company after. And he always looked to me like he's going to be a real chaser and typical Henry de Bromhead type. I'm sure he's going to be well school for this. Hopefully the ground is safe enough for him to make his debut, and if he does line up here, I think he's star favourite and will take plenty of beating. Failing that though, I think Duke of the Tay and Jets were a new rivalry. Now they were ran in a beginner's chase in Navan a couple of weeks ago, and Duke of the Tay obviously came out on top because he finished second. Now Jets on that occasion was well back. I thought he was travelling still well enough to win the race when he came down to third last fence. Hopefully if he got a clear round this time, maybe Jets might be good enough to reverse that form with Duke of the Tay, but they all have to beat Paloma Boo if he lines up.
Okay, let's go to the big race then, Martin, the €100,000 Tritown Handicap Chase over 3 miles, due off at 2:30, Martin, and I'm going back through the races of the previous years trying to find any race with good ground in this Tritown, and I'm finding it very hard to find, and this is going to be one tricky race on Sunday. I think they're betting around 8 to field.
Absolutely, no doubt about that, Patrick. 8 to field. William Mullins had a couple in this. Now, he only runs the one horse called Minna Bow. He has a horse called Undressed, a second reserve, he's probably unlikely to get in. Now, we did have the early anti-post favourite in this, A Pair of Brown Eyes. Definitely is a soft ground horse, and I'm not really surprised to see him not lining up here. Outsam did a bit of a favour a couple of weeks ago in the Cork Grand National, and he has an 8-pound rise in the waist to contend with here. He's one of 12 Gordon Ellis runners, but I think he probably is one of the better ones, and see Davy Russell taking the mount. We do, of course, see General Principle here. He was the horse that won the Irish Grand National last season. Keith Dunne, who was on board, he's up £5 for that thrilling success, but that was on very, very soft ground. And I'd say he probably need to run here on his first run of the season. But, he wouldn't be one that you could rule out, but I would be surprised to see him going close. Sokotour is a horse that is a bit frustrating from behind you, a punter. He certainly has plenty of ability, but he doesn't seem to get his jumping together. He's been backed a couple of times at the Cheltenham Festival in the race that came Muir Chase, and he's ran some good races. He finished third there last year in the Kim Muir and must have a bit of a chance with Barry Geraghty on board. Again, he'd like to see some support for him, but the way he jumps sometimes lets himself down. He needs to put in a good clear round, no mistakes, and he'd obviously have a big chance then. 2-3 for me for No Mead was impressive, I thought, winning at Galway last time. He's up £10 for that, and certainly he's won for the shortlist. Arkrish is interesting for Joseph Bryan, of course, Rachel Blackmore. We'd great to see her if she could win a big race like this. Now, this was the horse, I think, Patrick, in the Irish Grand National, where probably people remember coming down to the last, he just looked to be getting very tired. He took a severe move to the right hand side, to the left hand side, to his left hand side, and interfered with a horse of Gordon Elliott that I think was very unlucky. He finished fifth in the race afterwards. He finished very fast, but Arquish was just completely tired, very tired at that stage. I think going back to 3 miles would suit him. And he ran very well in the Kerry National of 2017, just got beaten on that occasion. He was a bit unlucky because the saddle slipped and he just got beaten. Now, he's had some tough races since, but I just think he ran okay in his first run there a couple of weeks ago. He could certainly run well at this type of better ground, and 3 miles will suit him better than the 3.5 mile. If you look at Magic of Life for Jessica Harrington, she rounded off last season with a good win in the Mares Chase at the Punchdown Festival. She's certainly one that people would consider here. Well, Spiderweb for Tom Mullins and also in the Tractali Abu followed a very thrilling finish to the Munster National in Limerick a couple of weeks ago. Now, on that occasion, the Tractali Abu looked all over the winner for James Munderway, which just got caught close home by Spiderweb. Who gets an £8 rise for that? Now, Tractali Abu certainly would like to go ground, and a lot of people would give him a chance. One of the outsiders I like is Mine Now. He hasn't won over fences yet, but he loves the 3 mile trip and he give people a bit of a run for his money. But maybe I think the fact that Ruby Watt sticks with Manella Bow could be very interesting here, Patrick. Willie doesn't have a great record in this, Willie Mullins. He's only won the race once with Baroni way back in 2009. Now, Manella Bow is only run for the fifth time over fences. He won at the Galway Festival in July. He ran some good races in defeat in the higher class novice company. I thought he was travelling well a couple of weeks ago when he came down to third last fence in that Cork Grand National. And the fact I think Ruby Watt sticks on board him on Sunday suggests he's got a very good chance. He'd be my vote each way in a very, very open contest.
Yeah, and of course, Gordelli having 12 runners out of 25 in the race, looking to make it 5 wins in a row in his in the big race, and of course, at his local track. And that race due off at 2:30 on Sunday. The another great race is the Proudstown Handicap Hurdle Grade B contest for horses running over 2 miles, 6 furlongs, and 120 yards. And we'll have 14 going to post in this one again, Martin.
Well, the name of Satesman is the likely favourite here, Patrick. He won the Brown Lad Hurdle at Nace a couple of weeks ago. The only thing about him was he always likes softest ground, so just slightly worry about him. He's up £8 for that win, but he certainly was a decisive winner and deserves to head the betting market. Lower down the way, it's Niall Madden's Pass the Ball. Has been doing quite well over hurdles and on the flat of late, and he was a good win over 3 miles last time at Gordon Park, and he's up another £7 for that. At the very bottom of the way, it's Charles O'Brien, would be a trainer you'd always associate with handicap hurdlers, but this rain in Spain that he trains has improved an awful lot in recent weeks. He's actually won his last two. He's up £13, but he still can sit in here nicely off a mark of just 9 stone 10, and Rachel Blackmore takes the mount, so a lot of positives in his favour there. He's certainly an improving horse and could go very well at a decent price. High Sparrow for Joseph O'Brien, well back to Galway last time, but possibly needed a run, finished fourth on that occasion and should improve. But the one I was looking at now, don't always go for maiden horses actually in handicaps, Patrick, but Edelpour is very interesting for Alan Fleming. He's a very decent horse in the flat a couple of seasons ago. He ran okay in the Irish Reserves there a couple of weeks ago off a mark of 97, and then was finished third in a decent maiden hurdle between a horse called Sometime Soon at Wexford. Now, I just think the step up and trip here would suit him to the ground, and at decent odds here, I think he makes plenty of appeal. Dunham Myler takes the mount, and I think, you know, maybe 8 or 10 to 1, he would be my vote each way in a very open contest for this one.
And of course, always a very competitive race is the last on Tritown Day, the Mayor's Bumper Listed Contest over 2 miles, and we've got some fantastic mares that have won good bumpers throughout the summer.
It's interesting, Patrick, with Willie's two runners here. Now, I don't think Patrick Mullins doesn't ride either of the two. I've got a feeling I think he's actually suspended, I think, Patrick. But the mount on Queen's Boulevard, who's won, she's only jewel winner in the race, goes to Bill Gleeson. My Yukon Lil is ridden by Richie Deegan. Now, Yukon, both of them were beaten last time out, but they both have decent form to their credit. But there is a couple here that are kind of unexposed, like Ballydun Blaze won first time out for Gordon Elliott, and Lisa O'Neill retains the mount in that one. Silken Sand for Joseph won very well, I thought, last time at Turles. Won quite nicely, showed a nice turn of foot and could get involved. But the one I'd seen win at Nace a couple of weeks ago was a horse called Caravation for Philip Dempsey and Finney Maguire. This one was second to a horse called Tin Tangle at Down Royal early on this year. Tin Tangle went on and ran very well at the Punchdown Festival in a higher level. And Caravation landed some nice bets when winning at Nace a couple of weeks ago. Made every yard of running, had no problem whatsoever in a saluting clear of our rivals up the straight. That was over 2 mile 3, but a stiff 2 miles at Navan should suit her very well. I think you've got a good chance of winning this very, very competitive listed bumper.
Okay, so that is the Navan card, and I can confirm that Patrick Mullins is suspended between now and next Friday. So that is why Martin, he's not riding tomorrow or on Sunday, I should say. There is one race I left out there a little bit earlier on. That was the handicap hurdle due off at 1:30.
Yeah, a wide open event this one. I thought possibly the horse there again, the usual story of Tony Martin, share the honour. A very decent horse in the flat. He looks very nicely handicapped over hurdles off 103. Now, its flat form is a flat form form is much superior to his hurdle form. But I just thought on the goodish ground on Sunday, he ran quite a good race in his last couple of runs in decent kind of company. He ran behind See the Lion, who's a very decent horse of Fatty's that won a couple of nice races. I seen him third at the Corridor earlier on the year. I'd be interested if there's any money for him, but I think Sherry Honor looks nicely handicapped. The other one in the race, similar sister is kind of profile, horse called Warnack. White Hart won very well at Nace a couple of weeks ago on softish ground. Now, she could do with a bit of rain to fall overnight. I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but if she does line up, Warnock certainly makes plenty of feel off of Mark 103. I thought she might run better over hurdles last time, which was only 4th at Ferry House, but I do think there is a race like this in her, and if it was market support, I would very much be afraid of her. But I think Sherry Honour for Tony Martin, Robbie Coggan might be a way to go here.
Okay, so that's the Irish racing over the weekend. Let's speed through the good English racing over the weekend, Martin. Good racing at Ascot on Saturday. And of course, the feature being there's two features actually. The first of them is the Christie 9065 Chase. Of course, you've got the odds on, likely odds on favourite here on Politigogue for Paul Nicholls.
Yeah, good horse this fella. I always thought he was just slightly below top, really top class level, especially Cheltenham saying a champion chase. But he really battled hard to win very well in the Melling race at Aintree there, beating Min in a tremendous finish that was. He showed tremendous heart to win 2.5 miles. This, I think, 2.3 tomorrow will suit him very well, and I think he'll take plenty of beating. He's a real good horse, this Politigogue, at that sort of level. Whether he's quite up to winning, say, a champion chase or Ryanair remains to be seen, but I imagine Ryanair is where he'd be going. But he certainly jumps very well, he's all heart, and I think he'd be hard to beat tomorrow.
The other race at Ascot then is a bit of a match in the Coral Hurdle between We Have a Dream and, of course, If the Cap Fits.
Yeah, interest. We Have a Dream. Again, it's one of those 4-year-olds, as I was just saying there a couple of weeks ago, Patrick, when he's running. He's stepping into open company now, and he just got beaten last time. He ran okay, I suppose, but he was a good 4-year-old, triumph hurdle horse last season. But you always find it's kind of difficult against these older horses. And I think If the Cap Fits would be the one that would be where I'd be playing that one.
Let's move on then to Haydock. Good racing at Haydock also tomorrow at the Lancashire track and the Stairs Hurdle. One of the big races there tomorrow, over 3 miles. But of course, the big race of the weekend is the 200,000 Lancashire Chase, of course, now known as the Betfair Chase. We've got 5 declarations here, Martin. And of course, we've got the rematch of last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Yeah, it promises to be a cracker, Patrick. It has to be said. It really does now. I mean, Native River and Mike Bite, several for a tremendous show in that Gold Cup. Like, they were at us hammer and tongs from a long way out. You have to love Native River the way he races. Is, you know, heart on his sleeve, jumps very well out in front. Come and catch me if you can. Mike Bright is the kind of classy horse, maybe, I suppose, that travels supremely well on the bridle, jumps really well, has a little bit of a kink in him at times, but I just think he has a lot of class. Now, he's the favourite tomorrow, and on the likely decent ground, I think he probably will beat Native River tomorrow. But on softer ground, you'd have to fancy Native River. Bristol Demai is a horse that won, ran away with this race last year, but the ground was really, really heavy on that occasion, which it probably won't be tomorrow. Now, he does love Haydock, Bristol Demai. He's not a horse that really seems to produce his best at Cheltenham, but he certainly loves Haydock, and he will be fit and well for his first run of the season. Nigel Tishman Davis, always a very great man to follow this time of year. I suppose a really interesting one is Tisselcrack. Can he come back to his best? He's 10 now. You'd have to suspect, that this is going to be a very good race for him. As Colin Taylor said himself, he's run out of options now, I suppose, because he'd be 11 next year for the Gold Cup. So it's kind of now or never. When he came on the scene a couple of seasons ago, he looked so good over fences that, he looked like he was going to win a Gold Cup at one stage. But, things obviously have gone wrong injury-wise, and you always wonder, will the horse come back to his level? The fact he's getting older as well, and this certainly is not an easy race for him. I'd probably watch him tomorrow, but it'd be great to see him run well. I think Mike Bite has the class to win, and I think he'd be the one I'd be supporting. But it's just one of those races where I'd watch. It is interesting, of course, as part of his £1 million bonus, I suppose the other two races then are, of course, the King George at Kempton on St. Stephen's Day and Gold Cup itself. And of those three races, you'd have to favour probably Mike Bite in the King George. He won it last year. I think the track will suit him very well. I think Nair River might struggle around somewhere like Kempton. But when it comes to Gold Cup time again, if the ground is good, which it normally is at Cheltenham, apart from last year, you'd have to fancy Mike Bite to maybe outpace Native River, and maybe he can just prove that tomorrow.
Okay, some good racing in England. And of course, just finally over in Japan then, Martin, on Sunday, the early hours of Sunday morning in Tokyo, we've got the Japan Cup, one of the big races in Asia each and every year. We've got a hot favourite in Almond Eye going for a 5-timer this season for Christophe Lemaire in that one. But of course, we've got an Irish runner in Aidan O'Brien's Capri. Ryan Moore's going over for the ride. He's priced around the 14-1 shot.
He's a very solid horse, Capri. Of course, in the Irish Derby in 2017. And he ran a good race in the Arc this year as well, Patrick. Very solid. The one thing I'd always worry about, though, he always seems to go much better with a cut in the ground, which is probably unlikely in Japan, to be quite honest. But still, fair play for Connections to have a go. But 14-1 probably sums up his chance. If he could get place, that'd be a great result. But definitely in Japan, it's not an easy race to win. You definitely need to be able to handle quick ground. And I just have a feeling that might be against Capri. But fair play for Connections to have a go.
Yeah, and it's £2 million to the winner race in the early hours of Sunday morning. That's where we're going to have to wrap it up, Martin. But we have time to get your best bets of the weekend.
Okay, so Gordon Park tomorrow. I'd take a chance maybe on, let's see, a couple here. I think Sison Posse has a bit of a chance definitely in that 110, and I like the chance to Speak Easy in the 255. They'd be my two for Gordon Park. Navin on Sunday, I definitely do like that Edeltor in the 3 o'clock. I think he certainly has a solid each way chance. Well, I'll go along with Share the Honour in the 130, and definitely I'll take a chance on Manila Bow for William Mullins and Ruby Walsh in that big Tri-Town chase.
Okay, big racing this weekend. Early starts, just to mark everyone's card at home. Gorham Park starts at 11:35 and Navin with a 12 o'clock start. Martin Murphy, thanks very much for joining us this week again on the Horse Racing Ireland podcast, and enjoy the weekend's racing. We'll catch up again next week. Looking forward to the Fairy House Winter Festival.
Thanks very much, Patrick. Yeah, looking forward to that next weekend. It should be a tremendous weekend.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.